In verse number 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the scripture says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" A question to each and every one of us, the apostle writing here to the church at Corinth, a church that was made up of saved sinners just like you and me, a church that had problems that they needed to be helped with and needed to be dealt with. And our brother writes two epistles to them by the inspiration of the Lord to help and address those problems. And here he reminds us and he challenges us to know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Not just speaking about the church, but then, and not at all speaking about the church house, but something else rather, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So let's pray. Father, we need your help at this time. We pray you'd bless with your word and give us attentive hearts unto it. And Lord, help us that we might glean and reap wondrous things from your word, Father, that we might be instructed, we might be helped, we might learn more about you, we might grow in your knowledge, the knowledge of you, Father, what you've done, what you're doing, what you will do, and what you've promised. Father, that we might rest in you in all things of life, looking for that great deliverance when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back for us, or by the grave, Father, we go on through death to go on to be with you. Help us now, we pray. And Lord, your hand upon us in every way. We need you. We need your touch and stirring upon us. We pray you'd fill us with your word and your spirit. And for sinners here that are without Christ, Lord, we pray that you'd save them. Lord, that they might rest in you, in the Lord Jesus Christ, his gospel, your word, Father, as you've told us the truth about all these things. Lord, that they just might come to see their great need. Might come to see the Savior, Lord. Reveal it unto them. You're able. We pray that you would. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the title of the message this morning being the Holy Spirit of God and where he lives. The Holy Spirit of God and where he lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have an interesting passage. Our brother writing to the young preacher and pastor, Brother Timothy, a man that is a Greek, he's a part Jewish, part Greek, and he's a man of God that the apostle is looking to encourage. And he writes here in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse number 24 we read, he says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient." So he's speaking about qualifications regarding a minister of the Lord. Now, understand that these are qualifications and things necessary for a minister of the Lord, but they'll do us all well, okay? And so, and men that have not maybe yet been called to the ministry of the Lord do well to pursue these things. Peradventure, the Lord would call them into the ministry. So all these things do us well to pursue. Must be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, in self-control of ability that God has given, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And that's the way it is with the sinner that is without Christ. They do oppose themselves by the things that they pursue, and their denying of Christ and his gospel. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Okay? So the minister of the Lord doesn't need to be a stumbling block, but a helper to guide and to show and to be a witness of good things in our Lord. Listen to this. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, this is the precarious place of the one, the sinner that was without Christ. The scripture tells here that Satan can take them captive whenever he wants to. Satan can take them captive whenever he wants to. The only thing that restrains that is the working and the power of God. And so that's something that for you that are here and not saved, may you hear what the word of the Lord says, that it can be that this unclean spirit, this that is Satan, can take you captive at his will. And when our whole theme and our consideration here about the Holy Spirit of God, and something that I've said in several of these messages at the end of them, why would anybody want to be filled with any other spirit than that of the Spirit of God? But understand, those who are without Christ are found in this jeopardy. We see over in Matthew chapter 12, our Lord Jesus Christ giving an interesting contrast here, and we want to take a look how this is, what our Lord says about it. He's been accused of casting out demons by Satan's power. And the Lord Jesus, and we've looked at this, he makes very clear how just unreasonable that is, that a house divided cannot stand, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And then the Lord challenges them. He says, in his rebuke of them, he says, if I, by my prolific, the great number of times that I cast out demons, and with what ease I cast out demons, and the number of times that during his ministry, his short ministry, he cast out devils and unclean spirits, all the same. He says, if I do so, then the few times that your sons do so, your children do so, by what power do they? If I'm doing it by Satan's power, then what about your children and the few times that they do? He said, they'll be your judges. And because it's obvious that by the power, and as the Lord Jesus Christ said, by the finger of God, he did these things. It's not hard for the Lord to deal with these unclean spirits, those fallen angels. But he says this in Matthew 12, verse number 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. It's the nature of those fallen angels, those demons, those devils. And then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so shall it be also into this wicked generation. So the Lord gives an understanding about, here it is, about those that are without Christ, those that don't have salvation by the Lord, those that do not have the Spirit of God living within, that their lives, their souls, their hearts can be just a place of coming and going of the fallen angels, of those unclean spirits that are there in line and following the way of Satan. Said they can be there for a while, and they can leave. And what happens when they leave is there's maybe a time of gained a little bit of peace. Not the peace of the Lord, but again, and things in life kind of get straightened up and kind of get cleaned up a little bit and kind of get back right a little bit. But then that demon comes back, finds a place all swept up. Things are kind of cleaned up. You know, I think about this regarding those that are, I think that this is one spirit that is at hand, and especially in our nation, is that of drugs and illicit chemicals and stuff like that that are used by people. That is the working of the depravity of man and that of demons. It is, because you'll see it. They'll get into drugs and dope. They'll be brought down, arrested, put in the jail. We see them all the time. They get cleaned up. They get straightened up. They get in a program. They get helped out. They maybe even hear the Word of God a little bit, and they rejoice about that, along the line of the parable of the different types of soil. And then they get back out, and it's even worse with them than it was before. Sometimes you see that with drunkards. And that's the reason that alcohol in time has been called spirits, hasn't it? Now that's this way. That's the way it works among men. And so the Lord tells us about this one that does not have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, does not have the strong man, as we've looked at in the previous messages, living within, the one that can whip everybody else. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God living within. The one without Christ could just be like a crossroads with these evil spirits. And it lines up with what we read over in 2 Timothy. It's a terrible state. It's a terrible shape to be in. And then we come over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where our text verse is, and we just want to walk down through this chapter and see what our brother is talking about and dealing with us, and that we might be fed by our Lord regarding this, the Holy Spirit of God and where He lives. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He says, "If I have fed you, with milk," verse number 2, "and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear the meat, neither yet now are ye able." And so it's a point of rebuke to this church, is that they've not grown. They've not grown up. They've not matured in their Lord. They've not grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. The sincere milk of the Word is a wonderful thing. And it's desired by the babes in Christ. And it is enjoyed from time to time, even by those that are strong in faith and more mature in the Lord. But it's time to grow up. It's time to move on to some meat, he says. He says, what's the problem? "For ye are yet carnal." You're so yet wrapped up in this world. You follow the way and the course of this world. You yet follow those things which are of this world, that are carnal. "For whereas there is among you envying," he says, "because of that you envy, you're jealous one of another, and you've got strife, you've got divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men?" We're not called to walk after the flesh, are we? We're called to walk after the Spirit. If we've been saved by the Spirit of God, we need to be walking after the Spirit of God. We need to live the rest of this life, as Brother Peter tells us, according not to our own will, but the will of our Father. I'm seeking to preach a message here in time about priorities. How are your priorities in life? How do your priorities, my priorities, line up with that which our Lord gives us? We need to remember what's going to burn up. We need to remember what's important to God, not laying up treasure on this earth. Yes, we should be good stewards of that which our Lord has given us, but the focus needs to be on laying up treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. Because all of this of the world, when you and I are laying in our deathbed, what we have in the closet, what we have in the garage, what we have in the house will not matter. It won't matter. It just won't matter. But what will matter then, as we see with so many that come finally to that time where death is near and death is coming, death is on the way, they don't care about the stuff alive. What they begin to care about now is eternity, their relationship that they have or don't have with the Lord. The stuff of life is to be used by us, not abused, as the Lord says, to be used by us for the honor and glory of our Lord. But here, this church, they were found to be carnal, and they walked after the way of men. Verse number 4, "For while one saith," a lack of focus here, "I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" This would be like, in our church, one would be saying, "Well, I'm of brother past pastor, I'm a brother Harvey, or I'm a brother Jones, or I'm a brother York, or I'm a brother this or that or the other." Do we seek those kind of, and I'm not saying that the men of God that are dear to us and near to us that the Lord used to work in our hearts and lives and to bring us the truth and that, I'm not saying that we don't love them, that we don't honor them. But this was all of their claim, was to those men. To those men. He says, "But ministers," he says, "one saith, I'm of Paul, another of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." It was the Lord that was behind any good part of their ministry. that was a help to you, that was a help and a touch to you. It's the Lord that has answered. It's the Lord that has worked. And it is the Lord whom we claim and that we should look to. You see, even as the Lord gave to every man, the Lord called them and used them in your life. Praise be to God for them, but praise be to God for it. It wasn't the man in and of himself that did it. It was the work of the Lord on your behalf and calling them to use them in that way. He says, I have planted, verse 6, Apollos watered, but it's God that's given the increase. It's God that has given life. As Jesus said in John chapter 5, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. That whosoever he gives life to, you know what? They live. They live. And so it's the Lord that works. We plant, we water, God gives the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God. God is the one that is something, is someone. God that giveth the increase. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So there it is with you and me. We are called and are calling by the Lord. Whether we're called in salvation, we're called to be a member of Olmsted Baptist Church. I'm called to be your pastor. We've got others that are called to fill other offices and duties in the church, called by the Lord to meet those things. And our objective is all one. One. It's all to glorify our Lord. That's what we're to be unified in. The Lord, as Brother Stephen brought out this morning, God Almighty is unified. He's one God. Yet He is three persons. And they are unified in their work, in His work, in God's work. And we are to be unified too. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, unified, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We don't compete against either. We don't compete amongst one another. We run the race set before us. And we all have a reward that the Lord will give to, I believe, our faithfulness and hearing and believing Him and availing ourselves of the things that He's given us to do so, namely the power of the Spirit and that of prayer. Verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God, not a competition. We are God's husbandry. Now think of that. We're God's vineyard. We're God's flower garden. We're God's fruit tree grove, if you will. And the Lord walks amongst us, and He does pruning, and He picks fruit, and He gives the nourishment that's needed, and He gives care. We're God's husbandry. It's our Lord that's word. Ye are God's building. Here speaking about us in our lives and here in the Lord's church. More in verse number 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now, there are some that take this passage and believe that it only applies to ministers and to pastors. And because of what's said later on, I don't believe that that's the case. I think our brother is taking in this race set before us, he's taking his own personal situation. He has been called of God to be a builder in the church. He's been given wisdom by the Lord, and that is seen by the epistles that our brother writes. The Lord uses him to write all these epistles to the churches where we've got our doctrine that we hold to and look to understand and learn and hold to in the Lord's church here at Olmsted Baptist Church. The Lord gave the Apostle Paul wisdom, and so he's not bragging on himself, but he's just saying, in his case, he is a master builder. He's been called to be an apostle. He did a lot of building for the sake of the Lord and by the calling of the Lord. But you know what? Each one of us are building too. Each one of us are building too. And listen to what our brother says. According to the grace of God which is given unto you, You just take that down there to you, to me. What kind of grace has the Lord bestowed upon you, child of God? Church member at Olmsted Baptist Church? As a wise master builder, are you wise? Are you a master builder or a builder? You know what? May we introspect before the Lord. May we search our hearts and our souls before God. Have I grown in the wisdom of the Lord? If not, get to growing. Get to asking the Lord to help to grow. Ask the Lord to increase in knowledge and wisdom, application of that knowledge in the operation of the church and the ministry that the Lord's calling us to there. He says, in his case, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now, he would go in and he'd preach the gospel, wouldn't he? He'd go into cities and preach the gospel. And in that sense, here in the church, the foundation has been laid by others, okay? And taking this from the standpoint of our church, I think there's three houses that we build. We build and work in the house of our life, that of our family, and that of our church. There's three houses that we're involved with, and you can take this and apply it to every single one. Do you have the foundation? The foundation is Christ. If you don't have the foundation, Jesus made it very clear that those that don't have Him as a foundation, that solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, are building on the sand. What's going to happen? Storms of life, the rains and the floods are going to descend, and it's going to wipe that house away. That of the scrutiny of the judgment of the Lord is going to come. And that house that's built on man and his way, on the sands of this life and this world and the way of man and the carnal things of this earth will wash away. It won't be able to stand against the scrutiny and judgment of the Lord. But you know what? That which is built upon the rock can stand because Jesus is there. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the one that can weather all. You know what? The child of God that has Jesus as their foundation, as their Savior, they can stand the scrutiny and judgment of the Lord because Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. He has the foundation. And the apostle says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay, verse 11, than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Makes it very clear about the foundation. Now listen, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, so now we got the building on the foundation. You build with the building materials provided by God, and what is that? Obedience to His Word. God's not screaming and yelling. God's not over there waving His hands trying to get our attention, but He just gives out His Word, plain and true, simple in most cases, evident by His Word being here, His men and His children proclaiming that Word, His churches standing in that Word and proclaiming that Word. You know what, Brother Stephen had in his Sunday school lesson this about the Trinity. And you know what? If you're a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, you need to understand about this. Sunday school, as we call it, is not optional material. It's not optional. It's necessary. You and I need it. We need to learn about our Lord. We need to know about our Lord that we might know how to function. It's the things that the Lord teaches us and has given us in His Word that are going to last. His Word settled and established in heaven and will be settled, is settled forever. How can we know how to build if we don't know what our Lord has told us to build with? Now, I want to build. Don't you want to build in life and family and in the church with the building material of God? With things that are durable, everlastingly durable. And the brother tells us that. Other foundation can no man lay than is laid, that is Christ. But if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. You find that word there in verse number 12, if. You know, it is so that there's children of God that have got the foundation. Never do any building. Never do any building. You want that to be you? What is it that the children of those that do not build, what is it that the children, the posterity of those that never build or build very haphazardly or build very little, what's the testimony and witness to them? What is it? What is it? If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, the building material of the Lord, or wood and hay and stubble, that's the building material that we have naturally upon this earth. And what happens with it? It rots and it burns, doesn't it? Every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll be shown what work we have done in our Lord and for our Lord. Remember, the apostle said at the beginning, it's not about us individually. It's all about our Lord. Every man's work shall be made manifest, shown forth, revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What's it say there in verse number 13? Every man's. Everybody's building. You're building. And you know what? You can't rely on the pastor to build for you. You can't, men, you can't rely on your wives to build for you. Wives, you can't depend on your husband to build for you from the standpoint of your personal life. You need to be building yourself. And then collectively in the family, a husband and a wife need to be building for themselves. And then a church, we need to be building according to what our Lord has given us. What's our priority? What's our desire? What kind of wisdom do we have in the use of the knowledge that the Lord has given us that we might build? Do you not want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? I do. I want that for you. I pray that the Lord would help us in this, because our work will be made manifest. It will be tried by fire. And you know what? The things that we build up that we think are important of, that are important of this world, they're going to burn up. Wood, hay, and stubble. You know, that which we've built in our Lord is going to remain. It's going to remain. It's going to remain, and there will be indeed a reward from our Father. Do we serve our Lord for the reward? No. No. When I was younger and in the faith, I used to think about things that way. Why? Because that's the natural way to think about things. We don't serve the Lord for the reward. We serve Him because He's God. We worship Him because worship and honor and glory is due His name. You know what? As an aside, it's a blessing. He does give a reward. But we're to be faithful to Him because He is God. And beside Him, there's none other. And what a blessing it is to be there with our Lord, because of what He's done for us. Verse number 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. That's God's idea. That's not our idea. If any man's work, verse 15, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. See, in these verses, I see it being applied to every individual person, every individual child of God, every individual family wherein the husband or the wife or the husband and wife are saved and the children of the Lord, and certainly here in the church, we're building. How are we building? Every man, every person has got a responsibility in this. Every person, every child of God has a responsibility in this. It's going to be tried by fire. You know what? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So when you got the foundation, you've got the foundation. When you've got the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, nothing can take you, that one that's been saved by the Lord, away from the love of God, from the love of our Lord Jesus Savior and what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary. Jesus is a foundation. As what's it say in the Scripture? We've seen that recently. He's that tried stone, isn't He? He's tried. And that foundation, laid by Jesus Christ, salvation by the Lord, you know what? It's going to remain. But do you want to arrive in glory, there to the honor and glory of your Lord, with just a foundation that is just smooth? and slick? Is that what our calling is? Our calling is to build. To build into our Lord. And then we come to this, our text verse. And it's interesting that it is right here. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Now the temple conjures up the thought of a building, doesn't it? A building that has been built. Don't you know that you're the temple of God? And I think we could take this and we could apply this church. Don't you know that we are the dwelling, the house of the Lord? If we don't know, we need to know. We need to know that we're the house of the Lord. And there have been brethren that have built here as pastors, and there's been members, children of God, that have built here, and the place and the calling that the Lord gave them as members. We are the temple of God. I think we could take this down to individual. The individual, too. The individual child of God. We are the temple of God. God's not, our Lord is here, but He's not in the pews and not in the piano and not in the walls and the roof and the basement. He's here within us. He's within us. He is within us. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The Holy Spirit of God and where He lives within us. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. He lives within me. He's a very present reality that God lives within. You that are saved, you know that that's so too. If any man defile the temple of God, now let's take a look at this about that building, that house of the Lord, that dwelling of the Lord. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. He's leading up to what he's going to get to there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that they've got a man amongst them that says that he's saved, and he's doing very wicked public things. And he is the temple of God. The church is the temple of the Lord. And anybody that's looking to defile that, what's he say? God will destroy. This man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, is they're admonished by the Lord to take this man and put him out of the church that the Lord might deal with him alone rather than dealing with the church. And so I believe he's leading to that. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So, we're to be holily building, aren't we? We're to be living a holy life for our Lord. We're to be obedient to our Lord in His Word in every way. Oh, Brother Jim, I have so much failing in my life. I tell you what, repent of it. Set it straight with the Lord. And ask the Lord to help you to get on to do what's right. Don't live in failing of the past, but repent of the things that you've done and wherein you and I have been found short. Repent of that and then pick it up today. Lord, help me today to honor you. Lord, help me to put my priorities straight. Lord, help me to build on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. Not this wood, hay, and stubble that I've been building with. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. You know, we can be defiling in that building with wood, hay, and stubble, and the Lord will destroy us. I think that's talking about our physical life and body on this earth. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise in the Lord. Oh, I got to do this, and I got to do this. And well, you know, we just got to do this. Are those the things of the world? If they're the things of the world that are coming in before the things of the Lord, put the Lord first and let this world go. Let the things of this world go. If you seem to be wise, oh, that makes sense to the world and the system of the world and everything. We've got to have this, and we've got to do this, and no, what's the Lord say about it? Become a fool in regards to the things of the world and be wise in the things of the Lord. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. What the world thinks is important, God thinks is a joke. It's foolish, it's like nothing. Because what the Lord says that we have in His Word, that's what God believes is important. What God believes is what you and I need to believe. And what God believes is what you and I need to pursue. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are empty. They are vain. The wise of this world, the wisest of this world, and this political campaign that we've got going on now that we're in the midst of, but we see a lot of earthly and fleshly wisdom spouted, don't we? But you know what? If the Lord is omitted from any pursuit of man, the thinking and the working and the wisdom of man is like dust. Without the Lord, things come to naught. Things come to naught. He, again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men. So back to the beginning here. Don't glory in a man. Oh, be thankful for the saints. Be thankful for the Lord's working. But always see that it's been the Lord's working, not that individual person. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Peter, or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. You don't have to scrap and grapple to claim anyone. We've been given as a gift to one to another. We've been given as a gift and a blessing one to another. The Lord says in Ephesians, as a pastor, I'm a gift to you. Boy, that's humbling. Sometimes I don't feel, much of the time I don't feel like much of a gift. But you know what? We've been a gift one to another to nourish one another. Every joint needs to be supplying the nourishment to one to another. He said, all things are yours. The Lord's going to give us the kingdom. He's going to give us His kingdom. The Lord Jesus tells us that. So we don't have to grapple about claiming and making some stake, but we need to rejoice in our Lord. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. So we see here this, that the temple, we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. You know, what's the Spirit of God think when you and I are building with gold and silver and precious stones? You think the Spirit rejoices in that or is pleased in that? Indeed He is. What do you think the Spirit's thinking, what He is thinking when we're building with wood and stubble and hay? What do you think the Spirit is thinking then? You know, the Lord dwells within us. Everywhere we go, everything we say, everything we think, the Spirit of God is right there at us. He's right there with us. You know what? In Luke chapter 9, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us something interesting here. And by example, in this event that took place with the apostles, look here at what zeal does, misplaced zeal does, in the blessing of the Lord, and people, you know, the children of God, churches of God, experience blessing. And you know what? We can take that blessing and that goodness. Here the apostles have been with the Lord Jesus for a short time in His ministry. And man, wow, they're there with the Lord. They're convinced that He is God. He's the Messiah. They've seen His miracles. They've seen all that He's done. And we are here with Him. He's put us in His church. He's told us He's building His church right now. He's chosen us out of all the people in Galilee and Samaria and Judea. He chose us, and we're right here with Him. They've got some zeal there. They've got maybe even some pride rising up. Listen to what the Lord says. In Luke 9:51, and it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up. So then, this is nearing the time of His crucifixion. He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before His face, and they went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him. So the apostles and the disciples went before. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And so the Lord Jesus' purpose to go to Jerusalem, he sends our brethren forward to make ready in cities of Samaria that he might go there and minister and preach. But because of the attitude and the way the Lord looked and that he was going on to Jerusalem, those people there were offended. They were offended. It's like, oh, you don't have any time to spend with us? Oh, the Lord's going to spend time, but where was their desire? And they did not receive him because his face was though as he would go to Jerusalem. Verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? How about we zap them all, Lord? You know, this isn't right. You sent us ahead, and evidently with purpose that you would come here and minister. How about we just blast them? I mean, they've seen the power of God. They know it can be done. And maybe they liken themselves to be kind of like Elijah. And they said, how about we just toast them all? How about we do that? Listen to what Jesus says. But he turned and rebuked them. And it wasn't light, but he was talking to them strong. He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Were these men saved? Except for Judas, they are saved. They're all saved. But the Lord Jesus Christ told them, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. You know what? You and I need to learn what spirit we are of. We need to learn about the Spirit of God, the Lord that has touched us and saved us, and our great God and Savior, and His working, part of His working with His Spirit that we are of. That, you know what? We don't know all about Him. We don't know all about what He's called us to do. We don't need to go to our own reasoning and our own fleshly thinking, but we need to go to His Word that we might understand what spirit we are of. Not follow after just what makes common sense, but what makes godly sense. What is it that our Lord has given us to do? We must learn that we are of the Holy Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, and just briefly touching upon our lives, we need to learn what spirit we are of. And then we come to this, which I've mentioned, and we'll read it here at this time. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25. Ephesians 4, 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why are we told that? Because we're subject to lie. May the Lord help us that we would not. For we are members one of another here in the church. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't be angry and let it cause you to sin. Don't let the sun go down on churning within. Get things straight. Get them right. Forgive. Or seek to engage that person before the sun goes down. Don't go to bed with that on your heart and your mind. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him room. Don't give him room. Don't give him access, but resist him. Let him that stole steal no more. Don't be a thief. Rather work. Let him labor, working with his hands the thing that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth, that we might be givers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Swearing, cursing, the taking of God's name in vain. In your texting, don't be using OMG. Don't use that emoji. Oh my God, don't be taking God's name in vain that way. Don't be saying Jesus' name idly. Don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. That's corrupt communication. Don't let it be coming out of our mouths. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know, let what we say be a building up, that it may minister grace to those that hear. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I ask this question, This word grieve talks about distressing or caused to be in heaviness and sad. You know, if you know anything about the Scriptures and you've heard anything about these messages recently preached, don't you and I know about the power of God and what He works in by His Spirit? Then why is it that God Almighty, who can do all things, and by His Spirit has done so much and will do so much and restrains evil, so there not might not be a destruction? Okay, the wrath of man will praise the Lord, and the remainder of wrath He restrains. He does that by the Spirit of God. How is it that God would allow us as His children, that He is willing for us to grieve Him? As great as the Spirit of God is, why are we told to not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed into the day of redemption? As great as the power of God is in His Spirit, why is it that the Lord would allow you and me to grieve Him? So we need to think about who we're grieving when we do. You know what? I think it speaks to our responsibility before the Lord as children. It says here that He sealed us. He sealed us by this Spirit. You know what? We're signed, sealed, and delivered by our Lord. And 2 Corinthians 1:22, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He's the earnest of what the Lord's going to finish for us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, the Lord Jesus, after that ye heard the word of truth," listen to this order, "and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Sealed. To grieve this one by which we are sealed? May the Lord help us. That we know and understand, that we learn what spirit we are of, and the Spirit of God that dwells within us. In 1 Thessalonians, we have something along this same line in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. Things that we're told, commands of our Lord here, that are to a blessing for us, and praise unto our Lord. He says right here, verse number 19 of 1 Thessalonians 5, "Quench not the Spirit." The great power of the Lord, and the power and working of His Spirit that lives within us, why would the Lord allow us to quench Him? To quench Him. Why is it that the Lord would allow it to be that we could extinguish the Spirit? And it's not talking about Him going away or us destroying Him in any way. But you know what? Extinguish, quench His effect on us. Why would the Lord allow that? Why would such great power? Brother Stephen read it there in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, about the Spirit of God moving upon the waters. Moving at the beginning of the, it is by the Spirit of God that He created. And He lives within us. And He allows it that we could quench or we could grieve Him. You know, well, we need to learn what spirit we're of. And you know what? I think it all speaks, and it's a subject for another time. But we are made children with the Spirit of our Father within, and we are responsible to Him. May the Lord help us in that. We must make our old man yield to the Spirit of God. And we kind of come full circle to things we've spoken about recently. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Brother Tom Ross talked about Pharaoh preachers. He wouldn't let the people go, right? He said, get down to the last, he says the last point, and then he keeps on going. He said, calls them Pharaoh preachers. They won't let the people go. In Matthew chapter 10, we come to verse number 16. "Behold, I sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Matthew 10:16. "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Don't premeditate. You know, it'd be hard not to premeditate. You know, sometimes what I do going, when I've been asked to preach somewhere, I premeditate. And, you know, there is an element there that the man of God needs to study, be sensitive to the word of the Lord and all that. But when we're taken here as captive for the sake of Christ by the authority or those that would seek to do us harm because of our stand and our faith in Christ, the Lord says, don't think a word about what you're saying. I'll give you what to say. Listen to what it goes on to say. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. That's the spirit that we are of. We must make our old man yield to the Spirit of God, not just in this, but in every way. And may we seek, and may the Lord help us. That's the reason we need to pray for help, because in and of ourselves, we can't accomplish this. But you know what? By the power of our Lord, we can. We need to go to Him in prayer. We need to avail ourselves to His instruction and His Word. We need to speak to God about life. We need to speak to the Lord about things going on in our lives and the need that we have and the need that others have, the need that our church has. We need to be thankful for what the Lord does do and what He answers in and how He's provided for us and saved us and kept us and the promises He's made to us. And by His power, we can do what the Lord has given us to do. To speak and to be obedient to Him. That we might know where He lives, that we might not quench or grieve Him in any way. And when we do, that we repent of it before the Lord and go on and turn our back on that wicked way and follow our Lord. It goes on to say here, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall have not gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. But if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, another spirit, how much more shall they call them of his household? But we don't have Beelzebub within us, do we? No, we've got the Holy Spirit of God. And may we know that and learn more about that and be helped by that. Back to our text, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Yes, we are. And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Praise God, He does. If any man defile the temple of God, let us not defile with our bodies, with our works, with our thoughts, with our speech. Let us not defile this dwelling place of the Lord. Him shall God destroy. The Lord will chastise His children, won't He? For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. May we live holily before our Lord and unto Him. In Luke 11:13, our Lord says, and in light of this message, the Holy Spirit of God and where He lives. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Not that we're devoid of the Holy Spirit of God. Not that we don't have Him. Not that He doesn't have us. But from the standpoint of children, building on this foundation, building this life, the Spirit of God living in this temple, this flesh that we have, may we avail ourselves more to the Spirit of God than we would to ourselves and the world and the spirits and the voices, the false prophets that are around here, out here in the world. May we ask our Lord, Lord, fill us. I pray the Lord will do that for us this week. May He fill us with His Word and His Spirit. That's a good thing to pray. You know, we have the Spirit of God. He does live within. But may He fill us as we saw Him fill our brethren in last week's message. Fill us that we might live for Him and glorify Him in every way. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Christ. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Him. That God-man that Brother Stephen was talking about this morning. He's 100% man, 100% God. He is the Savior of the world. There's no other Savior. You can trust Him with everything, with your sin, your future, the penalty for sin, the condemnation that rests square. You can trust Him with it all. He has the answer for all. Look to Him, repent, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.